things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to the Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
It is season 8. Man, can you imagine season 8?
Mm-hmm.
Week 1. It's
yeah, they can't get us off the air. No matter how hard they try.
That is true. Well, yeah. Let me start off by saying that don't tell me that history doesn't repeat itself. Packers lose to the Vikings in stunning fashion, 7-23. Yeah. Or the Vikings had 23 and the Packers had 7.
Yeah.
It really looked like we were playing our first preseason game with our starters. It was bad.
Mm-hmm. 2 years in a row now, we've seen this in week one. I think it was 31-3. We lost to the Saints last year, and just no energy. We've talked about the big LaFleur losses come not because of like schematic issues, it seems, even though I do have some issues with this game, but also just no energy on the side of the Packers. And they came out like it was a practice. And the Vikings came out ready to hit.
Oh, yeah. They wanted to make a statement, and they did. They did a good job, and pretty much all facets they looked really good. But you know, we're just talking about this game. This is not a precursor of the rest of the year, but we're just going to talk about how it really looked very lopsided from the beginning. It just didn't look good, and it just never came around. We just had mistakes after mistakes, and
Yeah, it felt like low energy all around, but also from Rodgers. It seemed like he wasn't really into it. I don't know if you had that feeling, like you never saw him kind of like getting pumped up, trying to like turn things around. He seemed like he was moping a little.
Well, I think after that missed pass or the missed catch and to open the game, he just from there, he was pouting. It just didn't look good.
Yeah. That was not fun, where, you know, could have been a 75 yard statement catch, you know, throwing it to Christian Watson, the new rookie, hits him in the hands on a perfect throw that would have gone for a touchdown on the first pass of the game, Watson's first pass to him in the NFL, and just plunked it, missed it all together. And yeah,
he looked like a cornerback.
Yeah, basically
a lot of his hands.
I mean, that's one of the knocks against him, his hands. You know, coming into the league, they said he didn't have too much to do in their offense at NDSU, and when he did have some big plays where he kind of just missed the catch. So I was hoping we wouldn't see that so early.
Yeah. It didn't take long,
but it also did seem like right after that, you know, there was that play, and then there was a third down shortly after that where Romeo Dubs ran the wrong way, and so wasn't there for the throw. And it felt like that was it. Rodgers is like, all right, no more rookies. You know, he holds such a grudge, and he seems to do that so often with his receivers that he then took away two out of his three or four options for the rest of the game, not wanting to throw to them.
I agree, and there's just – and our offensive line wasn't on. Their defensive line was. Mm-hmm. So it.
Offensive line didn't look good either.
No.
One thing I was, you know, they had that one play where Rodgers got kind of sandwiched and he knocked his head helmets with John Runyon, the guard. Mm-hmm. Runyon went out with a concussion from that helmet to helmet hit with Rodgers.
Right.
Rodgers, they didn't even evaluate him for one. They were rubbing his neck afterwards on the sidelines, things like that. I don't know if it's the star power you don't need to go in the blue tent if you don't want to type thing. But he definitely didn't seem the same after that.
I would agree. Yeah, that's a good good catch there. So mm-hmm. It was not fun. It was not fun. And then your suggestion for your mom to purchase a specific jersey for this year, I guess.
Oh, now it's my suggestion.
Yeah, it was. It was. You could ask her. And so from now on, we can hopefully go up from here.
Yeah. For the listener, my mom, his wife, got a Christian Watson jersey as a gift this off season, and heard
from.
She got some flack about it, I would say, during the game.
Yeah, that's a gift from Sean and our Sean's sister, Jenny.
Yeah.
So, but I've got high hopes for him. You know, it's like Devontae Adams didn't start out great either. So
no, people were calling to have him released going into his second year, even because of drop issues and things like that.
A moron.
It can take a while with new receivers, especially coming from certain offenses, to get into that, you know, pro role. And also he's put into the number two role, which is quite a bit to ask from a rookie with Lazard out, things like that. So it'll be interesting to see. They played it well. They got a lot of pressure. Darius Smith had that big hit. I think that's the one of them that I was mentioning possible concussion with John Runyon. But yeah, they did that. We did not look good on the offensive line. I was listening to something about the game this week, and they were talking about Jake Hansen, who we played at guard. And I did not realize. So we have some other guys, you know, they're not tested. We have some rookies behind him. But we played Jake Hansen at guard in this game because of injuries to Elton Jenkins. And Jake Hansen has not played anything other than center for more than a couple snaps since high school.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And it's like, so is that really where we get the most value on the offensive line? Because it did not seem like it was working out.
No, it wasn't. And well, we can get into the minutia of the game here in a bit, but I do want to say that, by the way, we are recording on Wednesday. So we kind of have a limited amount of information coming out of Green Bay as far as injuries and mm-hmm. such.
We did have the injury report come out a couple hours ago.
Yeah, it's not too.
We can go over it. Should we jump into that here quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Bakhtiari, limited practice once again. Full practice for Jake Hansen, who we were just talking about, played at guard. He went out with a shoulder injury, but he's full practice. Elton Jenkins, still limited practice. He ended up being a scratch for the week one game, which was a bummer. Alan Lazard, limited practice with that ankle injury. Hopefully he'll be back for week two, because we can obviously use some more firepower in the receiving game after what we mm-hmm. saw. Keyshawn Nixon, shoulder injury at cornerback, full practice. John Runyon did not practice because of that concussion he sustained on that mm-hmm. play. And then Quay Walker, who I thought had a very good game and looked really good next to Devondre Campbell, went out with a shoulder injury in the game, but he was full practice.
That's good. Did you see the yesterday morning that the Packers promoted 6'8", 362-pound offensive tackle Khalib Jones for the practice squad to the active?
I did not see that.
Yeah, they... it was just after the transaction deadline in the afternoon. The Packers announced the move, along with to make room for him. They placed linebacker Chris Barnes on injured reserve. He's got an ankle injury, so he's going to be off for 4 weeks. But, you know, that's going to be he's going to be eligible to return to the Packers in the week six contest against the Jets after they play the Giants in London. And so there were some rumors that saying that they promoted him because other teams are looking to pluck him off. And a lot of times the player or the agent will say, hey, I've just got a call from here and here and here. They go, okay, thanks. And then they'll sign him. But we'll see. It's, you know, he's not he's definitely not really NFL tested. Big guy, but they don't always, the bigger the guy doesn't always equal the best. So we'll see.
No, definitely. I thought, you know, glimpses in the rushing game to be happy about, but we didn't really stick with it at all to get a huge sense of things. Aaron Jones only had 5 carries this game. He had a long of 29, a nice run where he weaved past a couple people. So he ended up 49 yards, 5 carries, just under 10 yards per carry. And then AJ Dillon looked good, 4.5 yards per carry. He had 10 for 45 yards and a touchdown. He ran through a couple people, but you know, 15 rushes is not huge. We got away from it pretty fast in a game where we weren't down, you know, by that much. We're down by 7 after the first quarter,
right?
By 17 at halftime. That you can still run the ball when you're not down by, you know, more than 20. And it just felt like we got away from it. And not only that, but then in the receiving game, there were times I felt like guys looked open, you know, Dubs or Watson, and they weren't getting the ball thrown to them. And then Rodgers was also holding it longer than you would like to see. There was times it's like, okay, he dances away, looking downfield. And a lot of times he'll throw that ball away. He'd rather throw it away than throw an interception. But there was times here where he just held it until he got sacked. And it was like, that was frustrating to see.
Yeah. And then the one interception he had, it was just a bonehead play. He's rolling to his left and then he chucks it down the field. And it's like, he admitted afterwards it was a stupid play, but it's like, so all the stuff that you try to protect and make sure you don't get the INT, and then you go and make a play like
first that. Interception thrown to the NFC North since 2019, over 320 wild. Passes. That is wild. Like, makes it a little harder to be upset about it when you see that stat, because it's like, okay, it had to happen eventually, you know. But it'd be nice to not come into week one just looking like poop.
Yeah. Wow. That's putting it mildly. it really was. It was, I mean, throughout the whole thing, I mean, the special teams weren't horrible, but they weren't a highlight, I wouldn't say.
We had some penalties on special teams, which was frustrating again, but yeah, no like huge blunders. We had that weird running into the kicker where it was almost like the kicker was kicking him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And like knocked him backwards.
it's just so, you know, we're basically just children. I look at it trying to figure out this game. You know, you got people that live it and breathe it 20 hours a day, literally 18, 20 hours a day. And we're being but in the, and I've always said Green Bay is one of the hardest teams to follow because they just hold on to so much information. They only give absolutely what they have to give due to the rules. So you never know what's going on with the team, but I just don't get, I mean, LaFleur, sometimes it's like, if he's going to poop the bed, he really does. I mean, there's no little bit. It's just like, I don't get the run situation. You've got two great running backs, and your quarterback struggling a little bit. Why don't you let them get the momentum going with the running, and then you can open it up and make it easier.
I would have liked to see a few more screens or even throws to Aaron Jones in the passing game. You know, if we're having struggle with receivers, he's a solid option in that. But who knows? Like, even with our receiving game, we had, you know, Dillon did lead with 5 receptions, all receivers in the game, 5 receptions, 46 yards on 6 targets. Dubs had 4 receptions. Tonyan had 3. No one breaking 50 yards in the receiving game. Watson ended up with 2. I thought we would see more from Sammy Watkins in this game. You know, they've kind of talked about him kind of coming into that wide receiver 2 role and being a veteran presence, but he didn't seem like much of a threat when he got it. He ended up with 3 receptions on 3 targets for 18 yards, his long being 9, but I don't know. He didn't seem like that much of a threat at any point in the game. Randall Cobb, we've talked about him being definitely at the twilight of his career. Age-wise, he ended up with 2 receptions, 14 yards.
Yeah, 3 targets. And so I don't know if they, I don't know if you noticed during the game if they were like putting more people or more emphasis on Randall, or if they weren't, that's pretty bad.
It is. I mean, I know there was one where Rodgers seemed frustrated with the rookie receivers, and then there was like a third and short that he just zipped it so hard into Randall Cobb across the line of scrimmage, and Cobb caught it and we got the first down. But man, I'm like, it looked like a frustration throw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looked like he's trying to throw it 20, 30 yards down the field on a line to someone who's like 5 yards away.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a good game. Same thing we said last year at the same time. It just wasn't a good game. It just,
yeah. So frustration in the receiving game. Some very bad moments on the offensive line. How'd you feel about the defense? Because typically you hold a team, especially the Vikings are supposed to have one of the top, you know, third of the league offenses, at least for sure this year. You hold a team to 23 points, you're expecting, especially with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, to be in that game and to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to argue with 23 points, but it feels like we didn't really step up as a defense until it was kind of too late for us to do anything as far as a comeback. I don't know how you feel about it.
I just wonder how much of it was scheme. You know, I feel sometimes that these coordinators or head coaches, they just get kind of stubborn. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, this is it. I know this is it. And then, okay, we're into the third quarter and it's not working. And now we're into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And it's not working.
Well, one thing that was frustrating, we talked about it during the game, because I watched this with you and the family. And I was from the beginning, I was like, why are we playing so much zone? You know, why are we letting them just run into the open like zones, catch the ball and go from there, and not really doing anything to kind of slow down Justin Jefferson?
Oh, that was horrible.
You saw Jair Alexander talked after the game that he had advocated all week to be put man on man on Justin Jefferson, which is what we thought was going to be the case going mm-hmm. into the game. Because Jefferson is, I mean, he's going to be a top, or he already is a top talent in the league as young as he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so your defensive scheme should be around taking him out of the game, making sure he's not beating you everywhere you can. And a lot of our secondary, our cornerbacks that have talent, we have kind of built around the idea that we can play a lot of man and they can go out there and go head to head with these guys and compete and kind of shut them down. And it feels like the way Joe Barry drew up the defense this game was so much zone, so much playing soft, even when we're trying to like stop third and short and things like that. It's like going against the strengths of the players. And if you're not letting, like, leaning into the strengths of your players and then also picking a scheme that doesn't fit them, what are you doing as a coach at that point?
Well, I would love to bet a fly on the wall with LaFleur and talking about the scheme and saying, okay, what do we learn? Mm-hmm. You know, is this is the way you want to do it for the season? Or because there was no, I didn't see, maybe you did, I didn't see any adjustment. I mean, Justin Jefferson had 11 targets, 9 receptions for 184 yards, 20.4 on average.
Is the most 150-yard plus games for someone his age in league history at this point.
But let's play zone.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, there was points we had a linebacker lying up across from him just because that's the way it worked out with the zone. And it's, come on, let's, like you said, there's no adjustment in the middle of the game. And I'm hoping, like you said, this is our preseason game. Maybe that's what they decided. We moved to a 17-week schedule. That means we can just lose the first one. No problem. Don't need the pressure of an undefeated season, anything like that. Let's just get it out of the way.
I don't know if that's,
but it hurts a little bit extra when you're a Packer fan that lives in the middle of Minnesota to get walloped by the Vikings like this, especially week one.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. And then we got her daughter's boyfriend from a Kansas City Chiefs fan who's like kind of cheering, but also kind of. but it was just, you know, you get to a point where you lose interest in the game. Because it's just, mm-hmm. why get excited? You know, they scored that one touchdown in the third quarter and you're like, you know, we still kind of got time. We can still make this work.
That was the thing where I was saying that we were never down by that much. Like we mm-hmm. had a chance, like even near the end of the game, I think it was 8 minutes left where we scored. We're only down by 16 at that point, or they scored. We're down by 16. So that's still a 2-score game, but you still didn't see the energy. I felt like there was one offensive drive where we ended up going down and scoring, that it felt like when Dylan got that touchdown, it felt like, okay, there you saw some energy. There you saw some plays being made. But otherwise, it was just mistakes and low energy all the way around.
Well, when they did that, was it 4th and 1 at the 1-yard line and handed it off to AJ? And the run game wasn't doing great at mm-hmm. all. And so they handed it off, and I thought that would be a great time for a play action pass or a rollout or something. But they try to run it up the middle where they have mauled us on the line. It's like, why?
We had a 4th and 1 late in the game. I think our last chance, really. And this is a frustration I've had for years. I don't know if it's with Rodgers or LaFleur or whoever it is. I would assume it's probably a Rodgers thing. Where it seems like when we have 3rd and short, 4th and short, like 4th and 1 in this case, let's focus first and foremost, unless there's no time on the clock, on getting that first down.
Yes.
But it seems like Rodgers loves to think, okay, because it's 4th and short, they won't expect me to throw it long. Because it's 4th and 1, if we don't get the first down, the game is over. And he hucks it into the end zone for a contested catch that gets us nothing, turns over the ball.
Yeah.
And it seems like that is such a common theme. And like sometimes does it work? Yes. And it's exciting. But I'd much rather get the first down and then go from there.
I agree. When you have an offense that struggles that much, it's hard mm-hmm. to really look at the defense and give it its due. They gave up 23. How much of that was because they were always on the field? Mm-hmm. We'll see.
We'll see. It's a long season, and we've seen them turn it around quickly after a poor week 1 last year. So,
well, I can say that I am not too worked up about this, you know, having 25 years of watching this team, you know, perform at a high level. But it's, you know, when you come out and you play your first game 2 years in a row like this, I blame the head coach.
He seems his main failure at this point as the head coach seems to be not finding a way to motivate and energize the team for big moments. And I know we've said that before, but especially like that's kind of where it goes to the playoff game. So much of playoffs is energy. And especially at that point in the year, you have guys injured, guys tired from a long season, but you go out there and who wants it more? It seems like a lot of the times, at least the first half, we go out and we just have our head spinning and trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. And, you know, and I always look to it as well with the halftime, see how the team comes out at halftime. And I get it. It's not high school. You know, they're not going to go in there and yell at you. Come on, slam lockers and do that kind of thing. But still, you have to let
them
know. Huh?
Why not? Maybe that's what they need. The Dan Campbell, the fighting spirit.
Bite them in the knees. which Hard Knocks, it's actually a rather entertaining thing on HBO if you have it. It's fun to watch. I watched the Wisconsin Badgers football game against Washington State, an unranked team. I think Badgers were high teens or something like that. The Badgers lose 17-14, and it was so eerily similar to the Packers game. Lack of energy. The other team taking control of the line, both sides, and just there was no quit. And, and this is a coach, a head coach for Washington State that was from Wisconsin. I believe he played for Wisconsin. It might've been a coach. I don't remember all the particulars, but huge win for Washington State. Good for you guys. Came into Camp Randall in Madison, and basically they could have beat them by even more if things would have turned out. But I just feel like a lot of that, to me, maybe not just on the head coach and the other coaches, but the head coach hires the other coaches. And so we need to have somebody on the team that's got some fire in them that can get these guys going.
Yeah. And I think, like you're saying, it really does come down to energy. And you can kind of also see that when you look at the team stats throughout the game, because a lot of it was very even when you look at it. And so there's just that energy to play and energy to finish drives with a little more efficiency that they had to make it, instead of an even game, a 23-7 game where they win. Because first downs, Packers get 21, Vikings 19. Total plays, it's 61 each. Total yards, 338 to 395. Yards per play, we had 5.5. They had 6.5. Like rushing yards, we each had over 100. We're at 111. They're at 126. Possession, we're at 28.5 minutes. They're at just under 31.5. So very even game. When you look at the team stats and you look at the stats throughout the game, but it didn't feel like an even game. And part of it was because it looked like one team was out there trying to, you know, win the game, kick some butt, and the other team looked like they were the ones getting kicked the whole game.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's a very, well, great. Well, thanks for coming. That pretty much surmised everything. But how'd you like the pizza?
It was good pizza.
We had Marcia, my wife, made homemade pizza dough. And then she had basically, would you call it like a buffet of toppings that you could put on? She put a ton of time in putting it together. It was for my, my birthday is tomorrow, Thursday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, brother. Same age as you. And
that'd be weird.
So she put this pizza thing together because everybody was going to be together. And I said, well, let's just do both the game and birthday gift. And thanks for the knife, you and Jenny. That thing is awesome.
I'm glad you like it.
But at least we had good food. That always helps.
We did. You got any more to say about this game?
I really don't. I think otherwise we're just going to keep spinning down the drain. So,
okay. I would like to talk about the other NFC North games. We can look at our picks, but also maybe look at a couple of big games from around the week, because there was a lot of stories. Before we do that, should we squeeze in a game ball?
We can do that. Sure. You betcha.
It's hard to know who to give it to. It's not a great week. It's more like a consolation game ball.
I'll let you pick who. It's time now for the game ball.
All right. I am going to go with a rookie here who I was excited to see and kind of lived up to fulfilling the role I was looking to see him play. Quay Walker, inside linebacker opposite Devondre Campbell. He had 8 total tackles, 7 solo. And between him and Campbell, they had 19 tackles. They're that speedy inside linebacker core that can go sideline to sideline that we've wanted. We saw it with Devondre Campbell. We wanted another guy that could match him and really solidify the middle of that defense. I think we got it with Quay Walker. The other big reason I want to highlight him for the game ball is because he didn't wrap up guys in the tackles and have them drag them a couple yards, get another couple yards. When he tackled guys, they went down, like they hit a wall.
They did.
And so I am excited to see what we have with Quay Walker moving forward. He hurt his shoulder, but he's full practice. Hopefully he's good to go week 2 against the Bears. Congrats, Quay Walker, the rookie, on your first Bleeding Green and Gold game ball.
It's got to be pretty exciting for Clay. First game and he gets a game ball from Bleeding Green and Gold. Wow. maybe we need to send him some, you know, warm milk to calm him down a little bit.
Some warm milk. Okay. Yeah. I mean, if we send him milk, it'll end up warm by the time it gets there.
It is Green Bay. It'll probably freeze by the time it gets there. Hey, before we move on to the next things, I wanted to ask you, have you heard about the mess that Favre is in Mississippi?
Yeah, I have.
It's so the big thing that came out, it was like a year ago or so, that Brett was, I don't know, it was like $1.5 million from Mississippi to do speaking engagements to help promote certain things. And the money, turns out it came out of the money that was supposed to help disenfranchised children that built poverty, and they needed help for many, many different things. And Mississippi is like the worst state for poverty and people being in bad situations. Well, now it's come out that there was also something that Brett talked the state into, because his daughter agreed to play. Excuse me?
And the governor directly.
Yeah. And to, since she was going to go there, if she was going to play volleyball, but the volleyball courts and the stadium weren't up to standards for Brett. So he said, you need to spend money to upgrade them. So they spent $5 million to upgrade this. And now they've come out with text messages that all the people involved, and one of them from Brett saying, hey, the media isn't going to find out about this, are they?
Yeah. Coming out of those same funds to help the poor with benefits for the $5 million for the stadium is one thing.
So you got the FBI involved. It's kind of a little more than a little serious.
Yeah. Too many hits to the head there, Brett.
Is that what it is? I don't know. Is that where we put those pictures that he sent of his swimsuit area to that woman while he was playing for the Jets? Too many hits to the head.
Do you have any happy news? This has been a bit of a downer of a podcast for week one.
I'm just sharing what's out there. If you want me to put my Pollyanna dress on, I can. But it's not Thursday. I normally wear it on Thursday.
Okay. Should we look at some games here?
Yeah, please.
All right. Let's do non-NFC North games first. So any notable ones that we find?
Mm-hmm.
There was a few. The Steelers had a nail biter going into overtime with missed field goals to eke one out against the Bengals. Crazy game there.
Yeah.
But TJ Watt tore his pectoral in that game, which is going to be a huge issue for the Steelers defense.
I guess he's not going to have surgery, so he's not going to be out for the season, but they're thinking at least 6 weeks. So that is huge.
That is. Patriots lose to the Dolphins 7-20. Browns, Baker Mayfield was on the Panthers trying to get a revenge game against the Browns, and he did not get it in the end with a 58-yard field goal from the Browns rookie kicker to win it 26-24.
Was that overtime too?
Nope, that one was not.
Okay, because Sean and I were watching the Red Zone on DirecTV, and
yeah,
what was it, like three in a row in overtime that they kicked the
missed
field
kicks.
Goal?
Yeah, I think it was two in that Steelers-Bengals game, and then one in the Colts-Texans game that ended in a tie. That game, like, Colts are supposed to be a top team this year. Jonathan Taylor looked like a stud this game. They got Matt Ryan now to kind of solidify their quarterback needs, and they're playing the Texans, who are probably going to end the season bottom of the barrel. Lovey Smith over there now.
I don't get why he is an NFL coach again.
Well, it didn't look good after this week either, because not only so they get the missed field goal by the Colts in overtime, and then they have a 4th and 5 at midfield, and instead of going for it, you know, you are not supposed to win this game, Lovey. But it could really be a big thing for you guys if you do.
This is so funny.
And so you punt it on 4th and 5 with like a minute something left in overtime to play for the tie.
Yep. And did you hear his reasoning?
He thought it was better than a loss.
Yep. It's a long season.
It is a long season, but I don't know. ties can feel worse than losses, I think, in a lot of ways.
Especially when your coach doesn't believe in you.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like soccer where a game can end in a tie, no problem. Football, it goes to overtime. They have kind of like, they really push to not have ties happen in the NFL. So you really have to have a lot of things go wrong for your team or your game to end that way.
Mm-hmm. I just want to throw one on here before we move on. I want to talk about the game Thursday. Excuse me, the Bills at the Rams, Super Bowl Rams. That was a spank. That hurts more than the Packers loss. The Bills over the Rams.
Bills look good.
The Rams home, 31-10.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that on. I was watching a bit of it, and I'm like, going, this is going to be ugly. But the Bills looked good. They looked really good.
Mm-hmm. It was ugly. It. Yeah, I think they'll be good. I think they kind of had their egos hurt that they didn't make it to the Super Bowl last year because of the Bengals when they thought they should. And they're kind of on a mission this year with Josh Allen. So it'll be interesting to see. They're a good team. Saints 27-26 over the Falcons. Highlight that because it's such a big rivalry game. Those guys hate each other. The Washington Commanders came out with a 28-22 win over the Jaguars.
I think that was an overtime game, wasn't it?
Yeah. Jets continue to suck, losing 9-24 to the Ravens. 21-20, Giants over the Titans. That was a surprising one.
Yeah, it was.
In some ways. Really, Saquon Barkley kind of having a resurgence this year. A lot of people have been talking about, will he, you know, be the big name player they've wanted him to be and he hasn't really lived up to? Well, he looked like it in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Davante Adams and the Raiders did not get the win against the LA Chargers. Close game coming down to the end. I thought the Chargers would pull a Chargers and lose it in a heartbreaking fashion, but they did come away with the win. Davante Adams did have 10 catches, I think 142 or 148 yards, more than all of the receivers Packers combined.
Yeah, that's a great statistic. And you lost.
On 17 targets. So 10 catches on 17 targets isn't the best, but Chiefs
looked... We should talk about that with Matthew Stafford, where he would have these huge numbers, but it's like they all came in the fourth quarter.
And he threw it 58, 60 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Chiefs, big win, 44-21 over the Cardinals. They looked good.
What, he had like 20 touchdowns?
20, I think 5. They did bench him, though, at one point, I believe. So he couldn't have been doing that good if they're going to bench him. Just kidding. But you don't know. Tyreek Hill wasn't there, so it was, you know, interesting to see the offense clicking as much as it was for the Chiefs. They had kind of a similar situation going in where Packers didn't have Davante Adams. How would they fare? Well, the Chiefs fared pretty well without Tyreek Hill. There's a lot of question marks around the Cardinals this year, so it's hard to know quite how that will look moving forward. Did you watch the Sunday night game at all?
Buccaneers, I did.
Cowboys.
Buccaneers and Cowboys, was that?
Yep. Bucks 19 over the Cowboys 3. I was going to ask you last week, and I forgot. You think I was going to ask if you thought this would be Mike McCarthy's final season, because I think if they don't have a good year with the Cowboys, McCarthy's gone.
I do.
Not a great start to the season where there's so many question marks around his job.
No, and I don't remember. When did Dak get his broke his thumb? Do you know what part of the game?
Oh, I didn't watch the game. I'm not sure.
Because I Prescott broke his thumb / hand. Mm-hmm. I think he's out like 4 to 6 weeks minimum.
That is not good news for them.
Nope. Again, they're starting quarterback. He's a great quarterback.
And then Monday night, nail biter of a game. Geno Smith and the Seahawks take down Russell Wilson on the Broncos.
That was a surprise.
Another big storyline game. Geno Smith looked good. He has did. 17 of 18
cooled off in
the
second
half.
Though.
Yeah,
he did. But it was a good game. It was a good game.
All right, let's touch on our NFC North picks.
All right.
Eagles at Lions. I took Eagles. You took Lions. Close game in the end. Eagles were running away with it. 17 points second quarter. but it ends 38-35. The Fighting Campbells almost brought her back to win.
You stole that line.
I did. I don't remember from where. Was it during the Packer game? They said something about it?
Yes, it was.
Okay. But no, that's kind of the story.
It was in the red zone.
Was it red zone? Okay.
Yeah.
That's the story of their whole season last year, kind of. You know, people are just excited to see them competitive and in the game, and there's a lot of like almost comebacks or barely comeback wins and things like that. There's a lot more expectations, I think, around the Lions this year, and I don't know if that's going to be enough for fans this year and prognosticators who follow the Lions. I think a tough game to come out against the Eagles, who are looking to be a very talented team this year. But I think they're going to have to do more this year to appease the fans.
Well, I also think that teams are taking it more serious. I mean, they can see they're starting to build something. So you can't surprise it somebody as easily. Like I said, I like Campbell. He's a fun guy. I was watching the HBO show?
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks. And they hired Campbell's notorious for saying, "We've got a really good team, man. And we just need to get guys to really believe we've got a good team, man. Everything ends with man." So they hired a comedian who came in. And so he mimicked him. And the camera is on all the players. And the players are literally crying because they're laughing so hard at how well he was doing the impersonation of Campbell. But he's definitely a motivator, but he looks like he should be in the World Wrestling Federation or something. He's just, wow, he's a big guy.
He is. That Eagles-Lions game is the only one we differed in our picks because we both took the Packers, who lost to the Vikings, and then we both took the San Fran 49ers to beat the Bears, and the Bears win 19-10 in a crazy game if you watch the highlights at all.
I didn't.
It just there was points where it was only raining consistently and was maybe manageable, but other than that, just downpours for a lot of the game. You see guys getting tackled or going to the ground and just huge like waves of water coming up. And on the best, sunniest day, Soldier Field is not the best place to play.
Oh, that is true.
So imagine in a tsunami.
Hey, how about, did you hear about the penalty they got? Because the kicker brought out a towel. I don't know if
it was wiping the field down for the kick.
Yeah, where he's going to put his planting foot. It's like, yeah,
the Patriots penalty.
So they were out of field goal range.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Yeah, because like you had mentioned, the Patriots had used a snow machine, snowplow, to clear the field during a snowstorm a couple years ago.
No, it's many, many,
many years ago to make room for a clear kick. And now you can't have any kind of material or equipment to clean the field. I wonder if you could you put a linebacker down on the field and like squeegee the field with the linebacker himself? Would that be equipment?
You put somebody down and they do a snow angel?
Yeah, exactly.
You get what's his name, that 6'8" lineman to go out there. He could clear off 10 yards, but just doing that.
Exactly. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. 49ers are supposed to be a good team this year. Trey Lance, you know, they say he has all the talent in the world. From what I saw, the passing game could not get going at all in week one for them. But a lot of that could be the weather, as, you know, they always talk about weather is the great equalizer. And so it's hard to know. Bears are talent-wise probably going to be one of the bottom teams in the league. But it could be a bit of a statement game if they can keep momentum going. Week two, if they win in Lambeau, they're 2-0 against the Niners and the Packers. That'd be huge for Chicago.
Mm-hmm. And then we're 0-2. So,
and then we're 0-2.
It's a big deal. It is.
Well, are you ready to do some picks?
Yes, sir.
Sean is up +1 after 1 week.
Oh, it must be fixed.
I was going to ask you, by the way, and I forgot to last week, if you wanted, because I feel like by the middle of the season, it kind of gets when we're only doing NFC North picks, especially when some of the teams play each other, it can be just such a game of, you know, micro moves back and forth. If maybe we wanted to pick a game outside the NFC North, each of us, and pick a winner.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Do you want to pick the same one or just pick?
I think we pick whichever game speaks to us. Like maybe not try to pick against the Jets every week because that's unfair. But yeah, I thought that would throw some spice into it, you know, some more back and forth. All right.
I'm up for it. I was going to say we could make it easy and just say you want to do the Sunday night game or the Thursday game or the Monday night game, or you just want to do one that speaks to us.
Let's do speaks to us. I think that gives us some leeway to talk about what we want. So we're in season 8 here of Bleeding Green and Gold. I know when we started, we did all the games and I ended up taking like half the show because there's a lot of teams. But let's start with the North. Do you want to go first or second? You pick.
I don't remember who picked last week, but I'll go first.
Washington Commanders visit the Detroit Lions.
I'm going to go with the Lions.
You're going to go with the Lions? All right. I'm going to go with the Commanders. I thought their offense looked better than expected. They had some young receivers that looked better than expected with Carson Wentz under the helm. And other than some ugly interceptions, Wentz did not look bad in that game.
Yeah.
Although that's kind of the story of Wentz's career. That's why every team tries to drop him. Because he'll look good and then he'll make some boneheaded plays.
In the same game.
In the same game. Bears at Packers. I think I would guess we're both taking the pack on that.
Yep.
All right. So since that's a gimme, I'll go first on Vikings at Eagles. I think the Vikings lose their momentum going into week 2 in a close game. I think it's going to be a shootout, and I'm taking the Eagles.
I'll go against you. I'll pick the Vikings.
You go against me? All right. All right. So we differ on 2 games in the NFC North. Commanders, you have the Lions. Still feels weird to say Commanders. And then you have the Vikings. I have the Eagles. Do you have your game that you want to pick outside of the North?
Well, no, it's just brought up to me quite honestly.
I know this is, I don't even have one yet. I'm looking as I talk right now.
I'm trying to look and see if there could be, because the Monday or Thursday night game is the Chargers at the Chiefs, and the way the Chiefs played, I mean, that's just it. I think that's like a 90% win for them. Do you have any ideas? Let's see.
I mean, do you want to do that? Do you want to do the primetime games instead of us picking
that's
one?
Fine. How about, are you good with, this would be, I'm debating between New England at the Steelers or the Seahawks at the 49ers.
About which one you're going to pick?
Which one you think? So we got to pick the same one.
Do we? Right? Oh, okay.
I mean, do we not?
I don't know. We're making this up as we go. This it might be confusing to pick one because there's too many possible shutouts. Let's do a use it. Let's do primetime. Let's do Thursday night and Sunday night, Monday night.
All right. Thursday night, Chargers at Chiefs. I picked the Chiefs.
You pick Chiefs. I pick Chiefs. All right. And then
Monday night, we got 2 games.
Yeah, Sunday night we already picked. That's the Packers and Bears.
Right.
All right. And then Chargers at Chiefs was the Thursday night game. And then we have first Monday night game. Or I guess they're close. Oh no, an hour apart, hour 15 apart. Weird to have 2 Monday night games. But we already picked the Vikings and Eagles who play at 7:30. Before that at 6:15 Central Standard Time, we have Titans at Bills.
I'll take the Bills.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
That's kind of an easy one.
Yeah. So we both take the same ones, but I think the primetime picks will add something as we move into the season. Kind of an easy, easy one to pick this week.
Ways to get more advertisers. So
that's right. But yeah. All right. It's going to be an interesting week too. I think we had some weird results in week 1. From what was expected, mainly the Packers getting walloped by the Vikings. but we'll see going into week two.
Yep. It's going to be the next 3 weeks. Same thing I said last year. Next 3-4 weeks are going to be huge, how the season's mm-hmm. going to go.
I want to see some energy from the pack.
I hear you. And I want to see some of these receivers. If we get Lazard mm-hmm. back, he's supposed to be back this week.
And he has the most time other than Cobb under Rodgers and kind of knowing what Rodgers is expecting and wanting him to do. And that'll mm-hmm. bump everyone down the depth chart as well to kind of like relieve their role a little. So,
and less pressure on them.
So yeah, it would be very nice to get Lazard back.
All right, my friend, are we good?
I'm good.
Until next week, go
Pack.
Go.
We need to discuss beforehand how we're going to do that.
Go Pack, go.
We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!